Hello, I'm Mark Steiner. Welcome back. I'm here with Dr. Lester Spence, who's co-hosting today, Associate Professor of Political Science and Africana Studies at Johns Hopkins University and our Center for Emerging Media's Scholar in Residence, where we're working together on a project we're about to launch called Baltimore, Detroit, Oakland. We'll be talking more of that in the coming weeks. We are joined here now by Ed Pillington, who is chief reporter for The Guardian U.S., and Matt Taibbi, contributing editor for Rolling Stone, author of five books, and winner of the National Magazine Award for Commentary. His most recent piece for Rolling Stone is called "As Bradley Manning's Trials Begins." Excuse me, press predictability misses the point. And Matt and Ed, welcome. Good to have you both with us.
Thanks for having
me. Hi, good to be with you.
Before we turn to Max, I know Ed, you only have a few minutes with us here at the beginning of our conversation. Let me turn to you and just give us your perspective on this trial. I think that we'll talk with Matt about how most media has not covered it with a great intensity or great openness. The Guardian probably has. But I'm curious to talk, if you tell us how you have, for our listeners, been reporting this and how you see this going.
Well, we've seen it as part of our responsibility to follow this case really, really closely, because you'll remember that The Guardian was there right at the beginning of WikiLeaks. We formed an alliance with a set of international newspapers, including The New York Times, to publish the very first tranche of WikiLeaks. So we're sort of invested in it, and we felt that there was a duty to sort of stick with it and see what happened to the source. I mean, he wasn't our source. He leaked to WikiLeaks. He didn't leak to us. But nevertheless, we were sort of very much party to it, and so we felt we had to stick with it. And there's also a bigger picture here, I think, that makes it very important for us to keep at. And I'm surprised that some American media outlets haven't seen this, which is that the most serious charge against Manning, aiding the enemy, is a really very serious threat to chilling freedom of speech and a free press in America and potentially around the world. This charge faces Manning with a possible sentence of life in military custody with no chance of ever coming out. So, you can't get much more serious than that.
Right.
And therefore, we think it's really important to follow this case closely.
And Matt, one of the things you were writing about in Rolling Stone, which I found really interesting, about how most of the press is viewing this, and it really is pretty shocking when you look at most of the major press and what they've been writing about.
Yeah, I mean, the common take on this is to make this a story about Bradley Manning and what his motives were, and obviously he had some personal issues. He was troubled. He had problems with authority, getting along with his superiors at the base. But that's really not the issue in this case. This is a whistleblowing case. And so the pertinent issue is whether he was reporting on war crimes and whether he deserves the traditional protections of whistleblower laws or not. And so the focus isn't on the material that he released. It's on this guy and what was he doing and why did he do it. And it's a really effective way to kind of deflect the underlying story, which is really about the American policy abroad, and put it onto this lesser story.
Matt, you used the phrase "chump bait." I thought that was really dope. Actually, could you talk about that for the? Could you talk about that? Just that term.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that it is a show, the Kelsey Grammer show, Boss, and there's a reporter character in there who talks about how, yeah, if you're doing a story that is just too easy and for some reason everybody in power wants you to do it, and there's suddenly tons of sources who want to give you material, he called it chump bait. If that story is out there, it's too easy for the taking. There's a chump bait angle here with the Bradley Manning story, which is it's that whole, Bradley Manning traitor or hero story. There seems to be just this wealth of information coming out about Manning's personal life and the problems that he had dealing with people in the military. And that story is getting out there, and reporters are eating it up. They're eating up that personal angle of this guy who was in a personal psychological spiral. And of course, they're missing the larger story. They're taking the bait and missing the larger story. So that's what chump bait is to me.
I like that part of your piece, too, as well. I think it's important. I'm glad you pointed that out, Lester. But I wanted to ask, before you have to run, Ed, I'm curious what you see as significance here. One of the ways that Matt ended his piece, we want to talk to Matt about in a minute as well. Let me, the quote he has, which I thought was very important, he writes, when military secrets cross the line into atrocities, the act of keeping these secrets secret ceases to have much meaning. The issues to be debated at this trial are massive in scope. They're about the character of society we've all created. Now, I wonder how that plays into your view, how you're viewing this trial, and what that says about a perspective. Do you think that the press and your writing has to, all of our writings and view of this, have to portray?
Well, I think it, you know, it's interesting that the trial is entering its fourth day today. It restarts today. A day after we learned the identity of the National Security Agency whistleblower, the Guardian's...
The Guardian again, yes.
Perhaps that's no coincidence. You know, we're a paper with a commitment to sort of a free public debate.
Yes, you are.
And about the kind of government that one wants in an open and free society. So, you know, we would argue it isn't coincidental, our role in all this. But look at what Edward Snowden had to do. He has had to leave the country, and he's saying that he expects never to come back to the United States because of what he's done. And he talks about Bradley Manning. He talks about Bradley Manning. He talks about what's being done to Bradley Manning. And this is the outcome of what the trial is doing to freedom of speech in America. And I don't think it's coincidental. This is what the American government wants to happen. They want potential leakers to be deeply fearful of what they're doing in the hope that they won't do it again. Well, we see that someone as brave as Edward Snowden, who's prepared to really tear up his entire life, there are people out there who are still prepared to put themselves forward. But for most people, the chill is going to be extreme. And you have to ask, what kind of society do you want? Do you want a society in which people are too scared to sound the alarm when something they think deeply wrong is happening? Or do you want a society that's big enough and brave enough to grasp an open discussion? As Obama himself last week said that we should have, you know, he's saying we should have a debate about these Patriot Act restrictions and monitoring that's going on. Well, here we are having that debate, but yet the government, in going so heavily after Bradley Manning, is trying to shut it down, I think.
Ed, why is it so we know, so you stated why The Guardian is covering this, but then there's a flip side that, with the exception of Matt and some other American journalists and some other American newspaper entities, American paper, why is it The Guardian that's breaking this as opposed to The Washington Post or The New York Times or even something like The Detroit Free Press? What's going on in the American media where we're missing this and you guys got it?
Well, I mean, that's a huge question and a very interesting one. I think some of it goes to a sort of post 9/11 culture that still exists. The assumption that the government should be trusted. You know, essentially the Obama administration's line is, trust me, I'm doing the right thing. There are terrorists out there. We're going after the terrorists. You know, we may need to infringe upon your liberties, but we're the good guys in this and we can be trusted. That is a potentially dangerous argument to make, because you go down the road of increasingly handing over power to the executive without there being proper checks and balances. And I think the American media, to some extent, has bought that, although I kind of feel a reawakening happening. I mean, in the wake of all this story now with the NSA, but also in the wake of the Bradley Manning prosecution, there is a sense among the media that maybe they've kind of missed the ball, they've dropped the ball on this, and they need to get back more seriously in covering it.
So Matt Havey from the Rolling Stone, I'm curious how you see the importance of this trial, because and how it is beyond Bradley Manning for you as you think about this, the NSA case, Snowden coming out. There has been this kind of, I don't know how to describe it, but in the last several years, so many people who have provided information the government thinks are leaks and need to be prosecuted. There's some momentum here. I mean, even during the Vietnam War, which became famous because the one piece that came out in the Vietnam War, this is something larger because it's taking place more and more. What's the political undercurrent you see happening here, and what are we not paying attention to?
Well, I completely agree that this case is hugely significant in the sense that it's directly aimed not only at whistleblowers and future leakers, but at the media, and it's designed to send a message that any outlet that feels it necessary to partner up with one of these whistleblowers may face, you know, the wrath of the United States government. I mean, who's to say that the next time around, you know, if we have a Bradley Manning character or a Snowden character, that, you know, there might be somebody from The Guardian who might be put in the dock and charged with the Espionage Act. There's, you know, in the reporter's mind, there's no reason why the act of leaking, of actually taking the information, should really be legally separate from the act of publishing it. It's kind of the same thing. And if you see these whistleblowers facing these extraordinarily serious charges, it's going to put a chill on the rest of the media. And this is and the key thing, I think it's so great what The Guardian did, because they were incredibly brave to kind of at this moment stand up and stand beside this person, because that's what has to happen. And that's what happened back in the days of Daniel Ellsberg.
Correct.
It was necessary to have this, you know, very serious confrontation between the Fourth Estate and the White House, and have this sort of legal showdown and establish the fact that the government does not have the right to shut down that kind of information. What they're doing now is they're isolating Bradley Manning and they're separating the whistleblower from the press, or they're trying to, and that is a really dangerous precedent to have happen.
Now, do I have it right? You have to go in a couple of minutes. Is that right?
I'm cool. Whatever you need.
Okay, good. All right, okay, you can stay with us. So I think that when you look at what's been leaking out of the trial, Ed, I'm curious what you think is about to happen. I mean, as we follow this trial, it's clear that at least I think so. Maybe I'm wrong, but it's clear that Bradley Manning will not win this case. It's a military court,
right?
Probably,
yeah, I mean,
not,
look at the counts he's already pleaded guilty to. He has pleaded guilty to lesser offenses.
Right.
In essence, he's pleaded guilty to being the source of the WikiLeaks massive trove of state secrets. And the counts that he's pleaded guilty to carry a maximum sentence of 20 years. Bear in mind, the government is going after him with a trial slated to last for 3 months. Involving more than 140 prosecution witnesses brought from all over the world. You know, no one's done this, but you can start to count up the hundreds of thousands, potentially millions of dollars it's costing them to prosecute this case. In order to put him in military custody for longer than 20 years, I mean, that's what they're essentially doing. So, you know, that's how seriously they're taking this. And you have to ask why. And the most serious thing that they're going to present to the military judge sitting on this case is evidence which will be done in secret. We in the media won't see it. No one from the public will get to see it. It'll be done in a secret location with the testimony coming from someone wearing disguise. And what it will be one of the Navy SEALs who went and killed Osama bin Laden back in 2011 in Pakistan in Abbottabad. And they'll give evidence that in the lair they found digital media carrying on it WikiLeaks material, notably the Afghan war logs, which itemized sort of military incidents in Afghanistan, and also several of the Department of State embassy cables. And there'll be a letter on the media as well from bin Laden himself asking an al-Qaeda aide to go and find him this WikiLeaks material. Now, why is this significant? It's significant because the government is going to argue that this proves that by leaking to WikiLeaks and putting this stuff on the internet, Manning actively assisted al-Qaeda. That is their argument, and that is how they're going to seek to try and get aiding the enemy, the most serious charge I talked about earlier, against him with a maximum sentence of life in prison without parole. Now, essentially what they're saying is, if we, The Guardian, or The New York Times, or Rolling Stone, or anybody puts leaked official secrets onto the internet, that we are personally handing it to Osama bin Laden. That's what they're saying. And, you know, talk about chilling arguments.
Right,
that's the most chilling argument you could possibly make post 9/11.
So, Matt, pick up from that point in the last part of this conversation. I have 4 or 5 minutes left here. I'm curious as to your take on what that means. For us,
it's outrageous. It's what if Bin Laden had, you know, Bob Woodward's Bush at War in his compound and he was reading that? I'm sure there was a lot of intelligence that he could have learned about the Bush White House from that book as well. But, you know, that's the price we pay for having a free press. Obviously, the WikiLeaks cables are slightly different than a normal free media. They're a little bit more detailed than what we usually get in the press. But to argue that because something eventually ended up in the hands of the enemy, that is the same as directly handing intelligence to the enemy with the intent to aid and abet the enemy. I mean, that's a false equivalency. And if they can make that argument in secret and win it, again, it just sends an incredible message to everybody who would think about reporting on military issues or the United States' behavior abroad.
You want a quick thought? Let me just tell our listener, Chris from Woodlawn, he has a really interesting point. We only have 2 minutes left. We'll try to get there, but go ahead, Lester.
Yeah, so the interesting connection I'm thinking about is the Chicago papers, who just cut all their photographers.
Yeah.
So there's a political dynamic that affects the ability of somebody to report this, but there's also these economic dynamics where reporters are forced to do more and more with less, and it makes the chump bait type story the easier story for them to cover. So it's not just about fear of getting jacked by the state, but it's also a matter of not even having the resources to do the digging, the heavy lifting that's required to make a story like this sing and pop.
Now, we have to take a break here, and we're going to be talking about China in the next part of our program, and we have guests coming in. But I'd like to ask our guests to do one thing. Is that Chris Woodlawn, you're listening to me now because you're holding on as a caller. I'd like to take a quick break, as we're going to do for news, come back, and let Chris have his comment, and then move on to China. Just because I think what Chris has to say is important. And I don't know if Matt or Ed, if you can give us another 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like you to respond to Chris's question, because I think it's been an interesting question about the difference between leakers and whistleblowers. And we're going to come right back to that. So don't go away.
Well, now meet me at the bottom. Bring me my running shoe. I said, meet me in the bottom. Bring me my running shoes.
It's the blues. I hear a lot of people saying the blues, but I'm gonna tell you what the blues is. When you ain't got no money, you got the blues. When you ain't got no money to pay your house rent, you still got the blues. A lot of people holler about, I don't lack no blues, but when you ain't got no money and can't pay your house rent and can't buy you no food, you damn sure got the blues. If you ain't got no money, you got the blues, because you're thinking evil.
That was Howlin' Wolf, who'd be 103 years old today, but we can at least give him a little voice on the station, because I love some Howlin' Wolf, and it is his birthday.
Yeah, I had to say, I resemble that remark. I'm like, that's me. That'd be me.
We're going to conclude our conversation about Bradley Manning here, and both Ed Pillington, chief reporter for The Guardian U.S., and Matt Taibbi, who is contributing editor to Rolling Stone, author of 5 books and winner of the National Magazine Award for Commentary. Most recent piece in Rolling Stone is called As Bradley Manning Trial Begins, Press Predictability Misses the Point. I've agreed to stay for a few minutes. Just respond to one of our listeners who's calling in. Chris from Woodlawn, you're on the air. What's your thought?
Good morning, Mark.
Morning, Chris.
Dr. Spence and your guest. It seems to me like we're getting away from the original spirit of the whistleblower law, in that whistleblowers were people bringing charge against the larger corporations and businesses because of wrongdoing. And leakers were people who were letting information out, letting out small amounts of information for someone's profit, whether it was to a corporation or to an individual. And now it seems like the people who want to skirt that are kind of intertwining, intermeshing the two terms so that they're one and the same. And they're not. Whistleblowers, Bradley Manning and other young men now, they're bringing a charge against the government that there's wrongdoing on the part of the government. The government should not be able to prosecute them for that, unless they can clearly show that a party or entity is profiting from that information given directly to them. I don't even see how this is that much of an issue.
Well,
it just seems like the big corporation being represented by our government as our government are their managers in their charge. We're just getting away from the spirit of what these laws intentionally were in the Constitution as well.
I appreciate it. I'm going to let you hold on, Chris, and let me let our two guests a quick response before we have to move on. Matt Taibbi and then Ed Pillington. Matt?
Yeah, well, I mean, traditionally, whistleblower laws are designed to protect anybody who comes forward. It usually, there's a standard. There's many different laws that contain whistleblower protections, like the ADA, ERISA, the Civil Rights Act. It can depend on your situation, but it almost always involves a standard of public relevance and criminal or ethical misconduct. And so, if your whistleblower is coming forward out of a sense of conscience because he feels like he's reporting improper or illegal activity, typically he's protected. Of course, those protections have been curtailed a little bit in recent years, but that's usually the standard, and I think that's why, to me, Bradley Manning is a classic whistleblower, because he was troubled by the things that he was seeing, the torture, the killings of people on the street in the helicopter incident, and he was not doing it for profit, and he was not directly leaking it to the enemy. So I think, I agree. I think he meets the traditional standard of a whistleblower.
Ed?
Yeah, I mean, I think whistleblowers are crucial, not just in corporate in the corporate world where companies are held to account, but also in the public world where, you know, the tendency for government is always to try and increase executive power, and once you've increased it, you very rarely give it back. So there's always a need to keep debating, to have more information in public, to know whether what's being done in our name as citizens is what we agree to, or whether it's happening in secret without us knowing about it.
Ed Pilkington is chief reporter for The Guardian U.S., Matt Taibbi is a contributing editor for Rolling Stone, author of 5 books. A recent piece from Rolling Stone that we are attaching to here, as well as Ed's work, is As Bradley Manning's Trial Begins, Press Predictability Misses the Point. And Ed and Matt, thank you both so much for joining Lester Spence and I here on this first part of the Mark Steiner Show.
Thank you very much.
Good to have you both.